Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm your host, Jason Logan, Senior Industry Analyst, and welcome to the first podcast of the NFL 2025 season. So whether you've been listening to us for years or if you're new to the podcast, I'll give you a quick breakdown on how we do it on the Sharp 600 here. We're going to run a timer, 10 minutes, 600 seconds. That's where the name comes from. But we're going to give you a quick, actionable buffet of sports betting insights and opinions to take into that week's NFL slate. And joining us once again, I am excited to say, for the podcast, is one of the sharpest minds in the biz. He's a former odds maker turned professional sports bettor. You can find him spitting hot fire at places like CBS Sports, TSN here north of the border as well, too. He's the Han Solo to my Chewbacca. He's the David Spade to my Chris Farley. He's Mr. Todd Furman. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, J-Lo. Time flies when you're having fun. It was good that producer Dell didn't get himself arrested during the off season with his Eagles winning the Lombardi Trophy the last time we chatted. But the question I have to ask you before we get into breaking down week one of the NFL, what the hell kind of job title is senior industry analyst? Like, is this something new? Is that a promotion you got this off season? How exactly does that work? Can you lay it out for our loyal viewers?
I just wanted to fill it out on the business card. That was it. That was it. Just a super long title. Get as much bang for my buck on that business card. Rather than like,
I respect it.
Yeah, rather than like degenerate gambler. No, I don't want that on there. Sounds fancy, right? I'm sure the pay scale's a little higher on that one, too.
Hey, so look, after, you know what, 20 years of doing this, I'm glad you finally have a fancy title to go with your laundry list of accolades and accomplishments, my good man.
I've had that title for a while now. It's just I only haul it out once in a while, only to impress. Week one, we're going to fire all the fireworks. Before we start the clock, I will remind you that if you like what we're doing here on the Sharp 600 podcast, please rate and review. Like and subscribe, do all those things on whatever platform it is you delivers us to you each week. And then let us know if you like the show. Let us know what you want to hear more of and let us know what you're betting each and every week. We love that feedback as well. All right, Toddy. Can I call you Toddy?
That works. We know each other. We'll
try it out.
It's year two.
It's week one.
Yeah, it's a sophomore slump coming. So, I mean, you can call me whatever you want.
All right. 7 months. Basically 7 months we've been waiting for this thing to go. So let's not wait any longer. Boys in the back. Let's start the clock. All right, the offseason is not just time for betting futures and win totals and all those things, but it's time to kind of size up teams' strengths and weaknesses, measure that against the schedule, measure that against kind of public perception. And what that all means is you can start to narrow in on teams that you believe could be a good ATS bet early in the season or maybe a bet against team early in the season. Todd, I know your gears have been grinding since the schedule came out in May. So give me a bet on ATS team that you like heading into 2025.
So one thing to caveat this real quick, J-Lo, before we jump into it, it's always important to preface it knowing that how fluid this league is, that we can come in with the best laid plans, an injury here, an injury there, and the market, more importantly, being the ultimate vehicle for efficiency can change that. But a team that I'm bullish on, at least from an ATS perspective, the New York Giants. I think this defensive line is going to be one of the top five in the league by the time the dust settles. I think they get an upgrade at quarterback with Russell Wilson under center. And I actually think they improve their overall quality of skill position players around them. Look, they're going to be an underdog more often than not. And I think with a defense that can get after the quarterback, maybe create a short field or two, is going to be an interesting team, especially when they find themselves catching a field goal or more in a lot of games over the first 2 months of the campaign.
Agree on that one. If you read my underdogs column, agree on that one. I like the Arizona Cardinals here. Soft schedule to enter, offers some momentum. They're faves in 5 of 6. Now, those spreads obviously could swell the more they win games. But this offense has weapons. Murray, Connor, Harrison, McBride, they can put up points, cover those spreads. But it's the defense improvements that get me really jazzed about the Arizona Cardinals are right here, injecting a little bit of pass rush rage into what was kind of a bend but don't break defense for Jonathan Gannon. So I think Arizona could be an ATS team for a great ATS bet early on. Back there, give me a bet against team that you would think might be a money pit early on this year.
So for me, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I know a lot of people will be surprised by this, but they're going to have their third new offensive coordinator in as many years. Dave Canales, we know, took over a head coach as the Carolina Panthers. We saw Liam Cohen take his talents up there to Northern Florida in Jacksonville. And in steps Josh Grizzard, who's got familiarity with the weapons in Baker Mayfield, but he called plays for the first time at any level earlier this preseason. I think there are going to be some hiccups along the way. They have a receiving core that's a little bit banged up and a major injury on that offensive line to their best pass blocker in Tristan Wirfs. I think the Bucs are going to be overvalued early on, and we're going to find ample opportunity to bet against offensive achievement.
All right. I'm going to go bet against it's another playoff team. The Washington Commanders, a little bit of luck on their side in 2024, and I think that has set the bar high for 2025. I'm not saying that they're not going to win a bunch of games, but the spread's getting a little puffy for my liking. So I think the surprise factor is gone with this team, too. The defense, still a soft spot. They're favorites in 12 games, and they're on the wrong side of a field goal in 8 of those. So those spreads could be a little too lofty for the Commanders. Let's talk totals. Give me a bet on over team, a team with some over potential this year.
So I'll go quick here. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think early on against Carolina, their offense can shine against a much maligned Panthers stop unit. In week 2, the perfect cure-all for all that ails an ailing offense, the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a Jags offense I think takes a major step forward. I like their weapons. And I think Trevor Lawrence finally gets unlocked by first-year head coach Liam Cohen.
All right, I'm going to go Carolina Panthers for my bet on over team. They were 7-2 over-under to finish the last 9 games. We saw Bryce Young and that offense make a leap. This defense added some players. Still not a great defense. I think as long as Young can continue to grow as a quarterback, they're going to be a bet on over team for me. Give me a bet on under team.
For me, it's the Los Angeles Rams. I think Matthew Stafford's back injury is something to legitimately be concerned about. I really believe Sean McVay is going to look to run the football more often than not. And this Rams defense, I think, can take steps forward.
I'm looking to the Seattle Seahawks for my understanding that NFC West. But, I mean, top-tier defense under Mike McDonald, potentially. And a Kubiak offense that wants to run the ball. Smells like unders to me. This is a team that threw the ball a lot last year. I think their unders, over-under numbers are a bit skewed because of that. So I'm going to go under here with Seattle. Thursday night football. Todd, do we really got to talk about this Thursday night football game? I'm still stinging, but it's Cowboys at Eagles. Dell's Eagles. It's ring night. Apparently the Eagles aren't allowed to enjoy ring night from what they're just going to sit in the locker room while everyone celebrates. But a quick rundown here. Eagles were -6.5 on the opener back in May. Parsons contract drama sends it to 7. He gets traded, goes to 7.5. And then everyone and their dog starts betting the Eagles. And we've seen this move to 8 and 8.5. Now, I think the move is, you know, Parsons is great, but that move is really, really big for a defensive player not being there. What do you take from this game right now and this line movement?
So I'm not going to say that Micah Parsons is worth a full field goal, but JLo, like we always talk about, sometimes momentum can do powerful things in betting markets. And once there was limited resistance or an appetite for the underdog at 7 and we got to 7.5, it just made sense for books to continue to drift that into no man's land, provide a little bit of teaser protection. And here we are. We did see a little bit of buyback earlier this week at 8.5. But the public still hasn't plowed into this game like I think they will on game day. So for me, I thought 7 was a fair number with the Parsons deal. 7.5 made sense. The total also moved up, and that was where I think there was a little bit more value to be extracted. 46, north of the key number 47, out in that 47.5 range. Dallas is going to have to throw, especially when they're playing from behind. And I think we're going to see Philadelphia a little bit more aggressively offensively than we did last year when they were able to sit on leads in the second half of damn near every game.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel good about I'm taking Devonta Smith to have a longest reception over 21.5 yards here. He proved that he's a home run hitter. We saw that in the Super Bowl. Takes on a very tender Dallas secondary as well, too. Their corner's not exactly healthy. And Matt Eberflus, the new DC for Dallas, likes to play a lot of zone. Smith, very, very good against zone. So I like him to go over 21.5 yards for his longest reception. Anything you like for this Thursday night game?
I think Dak's going to throw early and often, not just in this game, but all season long. I think he's a worthwhile long shot to maybe lead the league in passing yardage, given how bad Dallas is going to be defensively. I'm going to think he starts with a flourish. I'll take him over 36.5 pass attempts. Think he goes north of 40, especially if Dallas finds themselves playing from a negative game state.
All right, and real quick, Friday night Chiefs and Chargers in Brazil. Anything there?
You know, I think the Chargers can be a sneaky over team early on in the season. This was a group that benefited immensely against lightweight quarterbacks. Dig into their numbers. When they stepped up in class, that defense was shredded. I think we can see that on full display Friday.
All right, it's touchdown anytime. Bet time from Bet365. Todd, I think we're thinking along the same track here with a lot of our touchdown anytime bets here. We're kicking a team when they're down. But I'm going to go with Tank Bigsby. running back for the Jaguars, plus 130. Bigsby listed as the co-starter with Etienne. A co-starter, which makes me feel pretty good here. But a very strong finish to 2024 for him. He gets those red zone carries, those red zone calls. He finished with 7 touchdowns last year. They have a beefed up offensive line in the Jaguars, plowing the road. The Jags, home chalk in Carolina. I like to bank on Tank, plus 130 to score a touchdown.
Look, you said Carolina was a team that you thought was going to be an over team. I think the Jaguars are going to be an over team, so I'm staying in the same game on the same side of the ball, but I'm going with Brian Thomas. I think he has all the potential to be wide receiver one in this Liam Cohen offense. He can be Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all rolled into one. I think he starts off the season at plus $1.25, finding the end zone. But J-Lo, what would 6 months of prep be if I didn't give you a couple of long shots, a couple of second-string running backs, Sean Tucker in Tampa, 4.5-1 if he gets a goal line touch. And the Rutgers product, Kyle Menangai, listed as third on the depth chart, but could be the goal line back in Chicago on Monday.
All right, it's 2 minutes real time. That means our best bets for NFL Week 1. Todd, tee us off.
I mean, J-Lo, I have to do a great unveiling for who I'm taking Week 1 of my best bet. Right here, it is the New York Football Giants, my friend. That's the way we're going, plus the points against the Commanders. I think Washington's going to operate in fits and spurts. It's a regression candidate for you. And the injury to Sam Cosmi along that offensive line, I think, could loom large against this Giants defensive front. I think the Giants have an excellent shot not only to cover, but maybe shock the National Football League with an outright win. I'll take the 6.
Nice. All right. I'm going with the dog as well, too. I like Miami, plus 1 at Indianapolis. The Dolphins are that ultimate if team. If everyone's healthy, well, it's Week 1, so everyone's pretty much healthy. You know, Tua's not concussed. That trio of Hill and Waddle and Etienne are on the field, but it's the depth of the defensive front that really gets me buzzed about the Fins, especially when that starting quarterback is Daniel Jones, departed Giants QB, who can't throw for more than 15 yards. So Miami, plus 1.
And I'm going to go to the NFC South and take a first half under between two quarterbacks who logged a grand total of 0 snaps all preseason between the Tampa Bay Bucs and the Atlanta Falcons. I expect both of these offenses to start slowly. Mentioned Tristan Wirfs being down for the Bucs on their O-line. No Caleb McGarry, no Stone Forsythe for the Falcons. Darnell Mooney banged up. No Chris Godwin. Kate Otten could potentially miss. The list goes on and on. I think both these teams look to run the football, struggle to find chunk yardage. I'll go under 23.5 in the first half between Falcons and Bucs.
A player prop for me here in Week 1. I'm going with Zach Charbonnet, over 29.5 yards rushing, minus 110 at Bet365. He sits behind Kenneth Walker on the depth chart, but Walker's still working his way back from an offseason foot injury. That allowed Charbonnet to shine in the preseason, and Seattle has this new run-heavy offense under Clint Kubiak. He's kind of projected for like 9, almost 10 carries in some places, 36 yards or more from a lot of those forecasts as well, too. The Niners got bullied on the ground last year. And if you want to spice this one up, you can take Charbonnet 10-plus rush attempts. It's plus 320 on the milestone markets at Bet365. Some of those projections teetering on 10 carries for him. And if they can get that Kubiak offense running, he could have a busy day. That is the horn, Todd, or Toddy. And on the first shot.
I actually have a question for you.
You don't care for it now? What?
No, the biggest question I have for you. So are we playing by NFL rules where the game is over when the clock hits 000, or are you abiding by the CFL rules where you still get to run your play even if you don't snap the ball before the clock officially runs out? I just want to check to make sure we're on the same page going forward.
Because you heard the horn. Yeah, no, I'm in Canada, so we're definitely doing CFL rules as well, too.
That's what I figured. And if I know you're itching for a team to make it to...
You get a point.
You're itching for a team to make it to the Maritimes, at least at some point in our lives. I understand where you're coming from.
That would be fantastic. Even though I don't live in the Maritimes any longer, I would still...
I get it, but you still have ties. You still have the local ties there and our cover's home base.
Yes, it would be good. I think Moncton should be the spot. I'm digressing here, but it's central. You hear that, CFL? I know you're not listening to the podcast. but that's it. Podcast number 1 of the Sharp 600 out the door here for the 2025 season. A big thanks to Dell and Chris behind the scenes. We're going to miss you, big guy. Big thanks to Todd. A big thank you to Bet365, who's going to be providing all the odds for the podcast this NFL season. And a massive thank you for giving us your time, for listening, giving us that 600 seconds to get you ready for Week 1. A reminder, like and subscribe, rate and review, click all the bells and the buttons for the Sharp 600. Pass along your best bets for Week 1. We love the feedback. We appreciate that feedback. Todd, Week 1's a tricky one because this is our first taste of a full slate in a long, long time. You always have some great words of wisdom to leave our bettors with. Words of wisdom for Week 1.
I mean, look, it's the PSA that we seem to issue every Week 1, both college and the NFL season. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Remember, you're not going to want to overreact to just one data point. Go back and look at how wonky those early season results were last year in the month of September. You had the Raiders go on the road and upset the Ravens. Everything we think we know gets put to the test over the first couple weeks of the season. And J-Lo, when in doubt, gravitate towards those dogs. We know that odds makers are doing everything they can to scramble to tighten up these numbers. And with points sometimes being at a premium, if offenses start slow, every key number is that much more valuable. So gravitate towards the dogs. Look at unders early on. But remember, you know, the bankroll is the biggest asset we all have working in our favor. Don't feel you have to put the whole thing to work for you just because you've been waiting 7 long months to see the National Football League back on your TV screen.
And I'm sure 80% of people are not going to listen to your advice and just hog wild.
Honestly, I just said that. They probably, if they were on the fence teetering, they probably dislike me a lot more now than they ever did before by me trying to explain that discretion is the better part of valor in the National Football League.
Well, we'll see how we do in week one and if people want to listen to us in week two, which we will be back next Wednesday for week two, which is honestly one of my favorite weeks of wagering. Yeah, overreactions, overreactions. Presenting some value there too. But until then, best of luck with your week one bets.